This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Over the past 2 days, we've reported on two plans that aim to fix Social Security's financial problems. One from President Bush's Social Security Advisory Commission, another from an advisory commission in the mid-1990s. Each took a different approach to filling the multi-trillion dollar hole in Social Security's finances caused largely by the retirement of the post-World War II baby boom. In this final story in our series, NPR's John Itzde looks at a third plan.
In his spacious office just across the street from the House side of the Capitol, Representative Jim Colby is conducting one interview after another, now that his favorite subject has become everybody else's favorite subject.
What are we talking about here?
Social Security.
10 years ago, Colby, a Republican from Arizona, helped start the Public Pension Reform Caucus after a trip to Chile, where he learned about that country's efforts to move its public pension program to a system of private accounts. His plan for overhauling Social Security includes private accounts, though he acknowledges that those accounts don't solve the system's long-term financial problems. But, Colby says, more than 24 other provisions in his plan help fill the program's financial hole.
It makes the program solvent not only for the next 70 years, but the Social Security Administration says as far as they can look at it, to 100 years and beyond, it would be solvent.
To fix Social Security, Colby starts by making a small reduction in the consumer price index used to make the cost of living adjustment to retiree benefits each year.
We'd make a 0.2% reduction in that. That's not a punitive thing. That's done because the Bureau of Labor Statistics and Alan Greenspan has said that there needs to be a change in that consumer price index to account for things like durable goods that last longer. So that 0.2% change saves you a lot of money when you compound that over 70 years, of course.
Colby would apply that CPI reduction to all other government programs, too, and divert the savings to the Social Security Trust Fund. The COLA adjustment would fill about one-third of the system's funding gap. Now, this is not the price indexing of initial benefits that we talked about yesterday in Model 2. That plan ties a retiree's basic Social Security benefit to prices instead of wages. Colby is proposing something very different, a reduction in the annual COLA that compensates retirees for inflation. Second, Colby says he would accelerate the scheduled rise in the retirement age up to 67.
It's in the law now to go to 67. We would just make it happen a bit faster.
That small change would close around a tenth of the funding gap. Like a number of other plans, Colby and his co-sponsor, Alan Boyd, a Democrat from Florida, would raise the cap on income subject to Social Security payroll taxes from $90,000 up to nearly $140,000 a year.
That's not raising the tax rate. That's raising the amount of wages subject to taxation. They're very different, because if you're a low-income person making $20,000 and you increase the tax rate, you're going to lose more take-home pay than you were before. But raising the cap doesn't affect those people below that cap at all.
However, workers with incomes of $140,000 could pay substantially more in taxes, up to $3,000 more, and their employer would have to pay an equal amount. The provision, which would be indexed, fixes about 40% of the system's solvency problem. Colby has packaged a number of other measures in his bill, too. For instance, he would reduce benefits for workers who choose early retirement, while also raising the minimum benefit for low-income workers. The Colby-Boyd plan is more complicated and nuanced than some bills circulating on Capitol Hill. Maya McGinnis, president of the Bipartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, says that could be a strength or weakness.
It could go either way. On one hand, there is something that everybody will dislike, whether it's increases in taxes or reductions in benefits, all of which are necessary to fix the system. On the other hand, it could be what leads to the feeling that there's a shared sacrifice or a balanced plan which brings enough people to the table and keeps them there that we can actually get the job of reforming Social Security done.
Whether that job gets done this year or anytime soon remains highly uncertain. President Bush has not said what path he would choose to make Social Security solvent. On the matter of private accounts, Democrats have rejected the president's plan to divert some of the payroll tax into private accounts. The president says those accounts must be part of any plan he backs. Lawmakers are on recess this week, And many are holding town meetings on Social Security, trying to gauge what appetite their constituents have for overhauling the nation's retirement system. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.